B-Pod Studios.
You be safe, whoever it is without their seatbelt.
Thank you, my friend. I'm putting it on now.
So there.
So, Toronto is the only team that made me worry.
See, that's worried me too, man.
Yeah, that's the only team that bothers me, but I still think we got it.
I hope that's the case, DJ. Who's your action hero?
If no one said it, I'm going Jason Bourne.
No one has said it yet, TJ. Yeah, thanks Bourne's for the call. Good. I'm not a huge Jason Bourne guy.
What? No?
What?
No. I like those movies.
I've seen one of them. I forget which one it was, but I've only seen one of the Jason Bourne films.
Uh-huh.
Here's my memory of Jason Bourne. I went to the Riverview cinema, the movie theater down there, and that's always like dinner and a show. It's like a show within a show.
Yeah.
And I went to see the movie Taken there some years ago,
and
the people sitting behind me kept on comparing Liam Neeson's character in Taken to Jason Bourne. And they kept on saying things like, oh man, Jason Bourne whipped this SOB's ass, you know, that type of thing. And they kept on saying stuff like that throughout the entire movie. And then I was like, I should really go see this Jason Bourne character.
No, he's an ass whipper.
He's pretty good.
I like those movies. The one I didn't see was the one that didn't have Matt Damon in it, but I saw all the other ones.
The one where I can't think of his name.
Yeah, the guy from the Marvels, Jeremy Renner.
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
You said it with confidence, so I'm going to go with it.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, no, it is. It's Jason, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played one.
Nighthawk in the Marvel series.
Yeah, he's in those movies now. Or he did one of the movies. I forget what it was.
Yeah, I think one, and they were like, wait, you're not Matt Damon.
I'm Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
610-632-0975. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Now get back into Gabe Kapler in a second here, but here's what's interesting. The Sixers are going to play the Celtics tomorrow night. I've already fast-forwarded in my brain since they beat the Bucks on Sunday to already Wednesday night, despite the fact that the Sixers are playing the Hornets tonight. Whatever. In my opinion, it's an exhibition game before they take on the Celtics. That's how I'm looking at it. However, you know, go ahead and listen to that game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight. However, Terry Rozier apparently has a little issue with Joel Embiid. Now, if you remember, Embiid was ripping Aaron Baines, for instance, of the man bun fella for the Celtics, even after the Celtics bounced the Sixers out of the playoffs last year. And as we all know, Joel Embiid never wanted to shy away from confrontation, never wanted to shy away from some trash talk and social media trash talk. He likes to have his fun and play the game as
remember
well.
Remember him and Morris, like, cheek-to-cheek talking trash, and he was pointing at the scoreboard and all that?
Yeah. Morris was going, Marcus Morris.
We're going up, we're
3-1. 3-0. And, of course, the Sixers end up coming back and at least winning one of those games, which was nice. But there's been an issue between Joel Embiid, the Sixers, and the Celtics. So Terry Rozier sits down with, who's this, Jamie?
Kristen Leahy on Fox Sports, the First and Ten.
Yes.
She used to be with Colin Cowherd, now has her own show.
Now does her own thing. And a big fan of hers, by the way. I think she does a good job. And she sits down with Terry Rozier, where Terry Rozier speaks freely about Joel Embiid.
First word that comes to mind when I say Joel Embiid.
Lame.
Why is that?
Just do a lot of talking.
Ah.
I respect his own court game. Just do a lot of talking.
Do you talk trash, though?
I wouldn't say I talk trash. Back in my day, I used to talk a lot of trash.
Okay.
But now I just, you know, I try to go out there and get the job done. But if you say something to me, then I won't stop.
When was Terry Rozier's day?
Back in his day?
He's 25 years old.
He's 25 years old.
Joel Embiid just turned 25 yesterday.
So what, he was 12?
On the AAU courts, I used to bust it.
I guess he means back in Youngstown.
I guess. But, I mean, like, Terry Rozier, dude, relax.
You're averaging 9 points a game. Joel Embiid's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Called him lame.
You think JoJo sees this?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
I tweeted out the video. No less than 5 people have already added Joel Embiid.
Well, then what more do you need?
Go eat tomorrow night, people are saying.
You be as lame as you want tomorrow night, Joel Embiid. It's not necessarily bulletin board material, but it's definitely something that Joel Embiid will put in his trash talk arsenal.
Yeah. Oh, you think I'm lame?
Exactly. And he'll go after Terry Rozier tomorrow night.
Oh, he'll find him. No question about it. He'll find him.
It's one of those things where you're going to seek him out on the court and be like, yep, I'm going to make sure I dunk on this guy tomorrow night. 610-632-0975. Let's get to Bruno in Mount Airy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bruno?
Yo, what's going on? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, Trey, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
Okay.
I want the Celtics bad, man. They're like the New England Patriots of the NBA to me. You feel me?
Yeah.
I mean, I get the whole thing. You play who's in front of you, but no, I want them.
No, Bruno, I'm with you, man. Look. Today,
like the bully that took my lunch money, and I was hungry that day.
Look, I've said it many times. Today is not Tuesday. Yesterday was not Monday. It has already been Wednesday since around 6:30 on Sunday. Since the Sixers beat the Bucks, it was Wednesday immediately. Back on February 12th, when the Sixers lost to the Celtics 112-109. Since then, March, double circled, and then not only that, my friend, not only that. But I hate everything that's Boston. I hate everything about the Patriots. Yes. I hate everything about the Bruins and the Celtics. This is a game that I want Philadelphia to reign supreme over anything New England yet again.
And can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah.
I want Joel Embiid to go down there, get tough in the paint with Al Horford, and kick his butt.
I hope so, man. That's something we haven't seen, and I want to see JoJo take advantage of that.
Why does JoJo shy away from him, man? Stop the three. Get down there. Get your butt in that paint, man, and go hard.
It's not that he doesn't go hard. And look, here's my issue, and thanks for the call, Bruno. Here's my issue. When they last squared off on February 12th, I remember Al Horford saying that, or no, it wasn't Al Horford. It was Joel Embiid saying he was trying to get into the game again. From the get-go, it looked like those two were going at it.
Yeah.
It looked like they were seeking each other out, trying to take advantage of each other's weakness in each other's game or exploit it. And again, Al Horford got the better of Joel Embiid. But it looked like they were going hard from the get-go.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they were bad. Horford's is a game that confuses Embiid because it's that finesse game. It's that big, strong man. Like, Horford's a big, strong guy, but he plays more of a finesse game. And I think that kind of confuses Joel a little bit, both offensively and defensively. Horford's just in his mind. I'd love to see. Horford can win a matchup against Embiid by going for, like, 17 and 8. Even though Embiid might go for 28 and 12, because you expect Embiid to dominate him, and he just has never really dominated him. In some cases, like, lost the individual battle against him.
It's weird. Embiid still had 23 points and 14 rebounds against the Celtics with Al Horford, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just seeing him, though, in the course of the game, he just didn't look like himself.
No.
It's one of those games where the box score tells the opposite of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as good as a game as it was, and it was a 3-point game, the Sixers came out on the losing end. Throughout the course of the game, it just looked like Joel didn't have that fluidity to his game. He didn't have that the stableness to his game down low. And very rarely, really the only time that you really see him get pushed around is when he plays Al Horford. And that's the way it looked in that most recent game. Really, every game they played against the Celtics since they acquired Al Horford, that's been the case for JoJo.
It always reminds me of like a boxing match where you'll have, just to go way back, but Muhammad Ali, who was as smooth as could be in the ring, and he fought like the one guy that just didn't make him look right. Like, it was like, but people do that to you. They just take you out of your element in some way. And Horford, he's got Embiid right now.
Yeah, he plays well against him. And also, you know, when you're just looking at the box score, I mean, my God, I mean, both he and J.J. Redick tied for the 3-point attempts with 8.
Definitely not what I want to see.
No.
No.
I know that his 13th three that he had against the Bucks the other night was the game-clinching three, more or less.
Right.
I can still go without 13 3-pointers from Joel Embiid.
Yeah,
I can
absolutely
go without 8. Yeah. I'd put a max on, like, 5.
Five is good.
5 is a fine number.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not even.
No,
it's not.
Right. You can still hit 3 of 5 and be like, all right, great.
Yeah,
you hit 3, 3 is good for you.
Yeah,
that's a nice little shooting percentage for yourself there, mm-hmm. JoJo. But this is a team that you always got to worry about. I feel like I could go into this game with confidence saying that the Sixers are going to win tonight against the Hornets, and then they're going to beat the Celtics on Wednesday night. They're going to beat the Celtics tomorrow night. I feel like it's finally going to happen. If you had to put a confidence level on it, Bob, are you confident that the Sixers will go into this game tomorrow night and beat the Celtics? Go ahead, look past the Hornets, and will they beat the Celtics on Wednesday?
A lot more confident than I was when they played 3 games after getting Tobias Harris. Yeah, this is the most confident I felt against this Celtics team for the 76ers in a long, long time, since, you know, before last year's playoffs.
Now, I got to look at this game with the starting five that they have now. Seven games playing together. This will be the eighth game where they all play together. This will be the game that I really hope gives people kind of the warm and fuzzies going into the postseason. Because right now, I think most people are like me. I think most people look at the Bucks and they go, that's a very good team, but the Sixers can beat them. They just beat them. Even before they beat the Bucks, they weren't a team that worried me, like I said a second ago. But the Celtics are a team that right now, they still have to get over that hump for a lot of people. It's not like the Cowboys, but in a way it is. It's like, you always got to beat the Cowboys, no matter how bad a season you're having, Trey, right? Mm-hmm. You always got to beat the Cowboys. Beat the Celtics. Show us you deserve to be this three seed. Show us you're going to hold on to that spot. And then go take care of business again against the Bucks. And then go take care of business, hopefully, when you get the opportunity to do so against the Raptors in the postseason. This can be that win on Wednesday night, tomorrow night. This could be the win that makes us all feel like this team is legit. Because until they beat the Celtics, it feels like the Sixers are just in a situation where they're just taking advantage of bad teams. They beat the Bucks, legit win. Some will say, oh, Malcolm Brogdon, one of their starting five, wasn't playing in the game. Big whoop. It's a huge win still. It's a solidifying win still. You right. still beat a team with 52 wins on the season. Mm. Now you got to go take care of business against your number one rival in the Boston Celtics.
Huh. I would much rather see them come out, dominate Charlotte. I mean, dominate them, because this is a team that you should win, beat, you know, but I don't want to see a game where the energy isn't right, you know, where you come into it with a haze. I want to see a team that comes out on fire, dominates a team, and then also carry that energy into the Celtics.
Right.
And play even higher, because that's what you're going to have to do when you get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to dominate and then kind of have to carry that over to the next game. You know, so that's what I want to see. This is a team that you should beat. Go out there and dominate this team and then carry that same, if not even a little higher, when you go into the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And then you're adding Joel Embiid also, so that's another great. But it is amazing. The Celtics have won 21 of the last 24 against the Sixers. 21-3 over the last 24.
What do you think the city's going to be like on Thursday morning if they lose to the Celtics?
What was the over-under you set yesterday, Jamie? 17.5? 16.5.
Smart money's on the over.
Yeah.
The fire Brett Brown people?
Yeah.
Yee! It's going to be a fun show Thursday morning, no matter what happens. Sam, go ahead. What is our update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked, is Gabe Kapler the right manager to lead this clubhouse? We have just over 1,000 votes so far. 56% now say yes, Gabe Kapler is the right
56.
Guy.
56. So what did it do?
It went down 1%.
1% and falling. Since we put out the question in the early in the 6 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you right now. If you want to get in, try to win our 76ers tickets. Here's what we're doing for the tickets. Give us a name of one action star, one character in particular, that you would most want to be like. This is in honor of the birthday of Bruce Willis, 64 years of age today. 64. I said I want to be John McClane. Mm-hmm. I'd want to be in the Die Hard series. Yeah. That's who I would want to be. We got some great names already mentioned today. We'll rattle them off. But if you have one, 610-632-0975, that brings some fine sports conversation to the table as well. If you're looking forward past the Hornets game tonight, and it's already Wednesday night in your mind with the Sixers taking on the Celtics. Also, we are talking about Gabe Kapler and whether or not you do feel he's the right man for the job after the story came out yesterday from Jeff Passan of ESPN.com. that Carlos Santana felt it necessary to go into the Phillies clubhouse during games and smash TVs that his teammates were playing the video game Fortnite on. Ridiculous. Is Gabe Kapler the right man to be policing this clubhouse? Do you trust him as the leader of the Phillies clubhouse? 610-632-0975. Coming up at 8:45, we're going to talk to Fran Dunphy, head coach of the Temple Owls, before their play-in game tonight against Belmont in the NCAA tournament. Time to the Fanatic 8:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 8:45, we're going to talk to Fran Dunphy of the Temple Owls before they take on Belmont tonight in the play-in games, the first four, if you will.
Yep.
the NCAA tournament, so we'll get Coach Dumpf's standings on all that. Gabe Kapler, whether or not we need to be worried about this guy being the leader of this clubhouse, it is our poll question today brought to you by Window Nation, whether or not you feel he's the right manager for this clubhouse. Trey, if you walked in, say, I don't know, at halftime, and guys were already in the locker room playing video games, say you were, you know, in the middle of a bit of a losing streak here, what would your reaction be as a team leader?
Would be pissed.
Like, how you would doing? You handle it?
I don't know. I wouldn't take a bat to it, but, you know, I'd be pissed.
Would you sit down and play?
No.
Would you say, did you save my game?
No. Yeah, it would be upsetting. I mean, especially if you out there, you know, you could tell that the team just checked out. You know, but during the game, that's just a whole nother level, though.
Now, Jake Arrieta said yesterday he knew players were playing video games, but he said he didn't know when they were. He said he didn't know if that was happening during games.
Well, because he was on the mound.
Well, not every day.
Yeah, well, because when he wasn't on the mound, he was back there with the other pitchers.
Probably.
Yeah, so it was a pitcher thing. I think this was all the pitchers.
What was the name? You mentioned Nick Williams might be one of the names, Jamie?
I had heard Vince Velasquez, Jake Arrieta, Nick Williams, and some other pitchers were the main Fortniters.
If you have an opportunity to go in this game, look, even if you're a starting pitcher, you should still be out there watching the game, supporting your team. It's not a good look when you're in first place by, I believe it was 2.5 games on August 5th.
Right.
And then you only win 19 games over the next 2 months of the season. And now you got guys in the clubhouse playing video games?
No. Nope.
That is, I mean, not only a bad look, that's just disrespectful for your to the rest of the clubhouse.
Once the wheels fell off the bus, they're like, all right.
Out. And my respect actually goes up for Carlos Santana. Saying, you know what, I'm a veteran on this team. I'm one of the older guys. This isn't how they're going to play the rest of their careers. I'm setting a standard now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised with the way Rhys Hoskins kind of emerged as a leader last year, despite being 24, 25 years old, that, you know, he was the type of guy to, you know, call aside a guy like Odubel Herrera. I'm a little surprised that he wasn't someone to call out these players and try to handle it himself.
Again, he was on the field.
But I think he knows what's going on. I think guys are talking about it in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this is the greatest secret keepers in the history of baseball,
yeah.
Where no one's talking about this.
Fortnite gate.
A whole other gate. Let's get Dre and Voorhees up here. Dre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Yeah.
Man, you're not hanging in there, man. Listen to you guys. First time calling, man. Love
Welcome in.
Thank you.
Oh, man. First, I want to answer the question about the Sixers on Wednesday, man. Oh, man. Huge. I love the Sixers, man. But you know what? For them to be able to beat the Celtics, that bench is going to have to step up, man. It's got to step up. And that rotation has got to be something better than what we've seen all year.
Yeah.
I notice every time when Derrick Brown gets into like a clutch situation, he folds. He folds like a side chick. He just doesn't know what to do at all. And
Whoa. Hold on a second.
No. Let it go.
All right. I'm going to let it go. Trey, but here's the thing. Like,
Trey, you know where I'm coming from.
I do. I know exactly where you come from, yeah.
And it's not something we should explore?
Yes.
All right. Trey.
I got it. It hit me. All right. Caught up here.
If my girlfriend's listening, I don't know what I'm talking about.
This guy's name is Paul. Paul from yes. Not At All Voorhees. And his name's not Dre. But Dre, seriously. When you talk about Brett Brown, the clutch situations and all that, somebody sent this to us last week. I didn't even realize this. But when it comes to three-point games, Brett Brown has one of the best records in the entire NBA.
Except for when it matters.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So against the Celtics, against the Bucks, against the Raptors, right?
And that's all that matters. That's honestly what all Sixers fans care about. We want to know that at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, are you going to get the job there?
Right.
And honestly, you haven't. Like, it's great. Okay, wow, we beat the Hornets tonight. We should do that on a regular basis. Okay, wow, we beat, you know, the Orlando Magic. Wow, you guys were supposed to do that. But when it comes down to it, are you going to be a great coach and have that rotation set up for a team like the Celtics, who honestly is the deepest team in the East right now, if you want to argue that with the Bucks and the Raptors?
Right.
I mean, they're not. To me personally, he doesn't have the main chick. He just doesn't have the main chick symptoms. Maybe he's satisfied.
All right, Jay, real quick, if you could be one action hero, who would you be?
Oh, man, Jesus. You know what? I'm so glad you asked this, man. I was telling my son, I'm trying to get the tickets to, you know, he plays travel basketball for Mount Laurel, so I'm trying to get him the game for Wednesday, man. If I had to be one actor, I actually would be two.
Give me your best one.
My best one? Oh, man, Blank Man. Duh.
Blank Man.
Blank Man was great.
Dude, David Wayans.
Don't forget David Alan Greer was in that.
David Alan Greer was in that.
It was a sidekick.
Other guy. The greatest sidekick ever? Other guy? Come on, man.
Other guy, that's right.
Man, when Blank Man got that kid, now, boy, J5. Yeah. I don't, what's happening?
Something's happening!
He literally saved a whole city in his grandma's underwear.
Like, that did happen.
He's literally a urban hero. And honestly, the greatest superhero of my generation, Blank Man.
That is a... Dre, I don't know how old you are, man, but I don't think we're that far off from each other, and I might be the same generation. Blank Man is not the greatest superhero in the history of our generation.
Blank Man. That,
you know what?
That is hilarious.
You're a fibber.
I'm a fibber. You're still in the running, Dre, just because I like it. I did watch Blank Man. It was a wonderful film. Yeah. It's a wonderful picture. Robin Givens plays the Scarlet in that movie. Mm. Or the Starlet.
She was an item back in the day.
She was coming fresh off of Tyson, I believe, not that far after.
Yeah, because this was, I think, early 90s Blank Man?
Yeah, I want to say like 92, 93.
I haven't talked about Blank Man probably since Blank Man. I felt bad for the mayor fellow that got killed in that movie. Remember they chained him to or did they save his life? I don't remember. No, I think he died.
Yeah, let's go with he died.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he died. It was Peter Lawford's son or grandson. I don't know. But anyway, Robert Givens. I was looking it up the other day for whatever reason. And she apparently was married twice, both for a year.
Mm. Mm. And the newest one, they've been separated since the day they got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like you say I do, then you get in an argument, and you're like, you know what? This isn't going to work.
JK,
you
know, JK.
I don't.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. Let's get to Lance in Audubon. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I know we're all excited about Sixers and everything and ready for the Celtics game, but I just feel like I felt like last time, that last game against the Celtics, where we were all pumped. We were like, we're going to win this game. We're going to win this game. We're ready. And we came out and we blew it. I was in the arena that night, and it was awful walking out of there. And I don't know how many more of those I can take if they lose to the Celtics again.
Lance, here was the only reservation I had with that Celtics game, and obviously they had just bolstered the lineup, getting Tobias Harris and all that. And when we had Tobias on last week, we asked him if he had hated the Celtics yet. And he said, yeah, man, I hate everybody that we play against. That was his second or third game with the team. The team wasn't ready for that game. I feel like right now they got seven games under their belt together. They're 6-1 in those games. They're coming off a big win against the Bucks. We'll see what they do tonight. I feel like this is the game where they actually will win. I feel like this is the game they beat the Celtics.
All right, I feel like the fans were pumped last time, and that's what we thought.
Oh, sure. Well, when are we not pumped? The Celtics come to town. When do we not get pumped up? This is a game that I'm telling you, if you're betting money, I'm saying right now, bet the Sixers in this game to win outright.
Wow, listen to you
how
throwing
about
your money around in other
about
people's
that?
Pockets.
How about that?
Yes. I'll be watching. I'll be all Sixered up. I'll be ready to go. But I can't take another loss to the Celtics.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you, brother. Who's your action star?
I'm going to go with the guy that I think had the best life. I'm going to go then All-Star Dalton from Roadhouse.
Ooh.
How on a guy station, as some would call it, right? Sports Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
How does Roadhouse take 2.5 hours to get mentioned?
Great question.
I'm almost disappointed, Lance, but I'm proud of you, my friend. I'm going to put you in the running right here.
Who is this?
Roadhouse. Dalton?
Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Trey, I'll watch Split when you watch Roadhouse.
Okay.
You haven't seen Roadhouse yet?
I don't know. I may have.
It's a corny American classic.
Yeah, it's like...
It is one of the worst movies ever, Trey.
Yes, but great.
I'm pretty sure when people are applying to be American in their citizenship test, they're like, all right, well, first sit down and watch Roadhouse so that you understand what the 80s were like.
Mm-hmm.
Pain don't hurt. Sam Elliott? Oh, great.
One gripe with Roadhouse...
Only one?
Tread lightly. Let me just warn you.
This might be a piping hot take, so brace yourself, folks. And then the fight scene where Sam Elliott actually fights.
Yeah. He didn't sell you?
And,
he was a little stiff back.
It was like, what? His elbows were way too far in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like...
He didn't sell it.
It was like watching a non-athlete portray an athlete in a movie.
Yeah.
You're like, you've never touched a baseball. Like, you're not fooling me none, as my uncle would say.
Did he do ghosts after this?
Patrick Swayze?
Probably after, yeah.
Yeah, well,
Ghost was first before Roadhouse.
Really?
I would say Ghost was
I thought Ghost was early 90s. I think Roadhouse was early 80s.
I'm going to check it out.
I would say what was that? I'm gonna go ahead and say that Patrick Swayze did Roadhouse, I would say, first. At least 5 years before he did Ghost.
And he probably did in these same jeans that he had on right
now. Probably. Shirtless.
shirtless.
Hey, if I look like Patrick Swayze, I'd be shirtless everywhere, too.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think...
Just going grocery shopping.
Yeah, so everywhere.
These eggs.
Everywhere. What is just that? Picking up the dozen eggs, shirtless.
Who would have thought Bruce Willis's birthday, which is today, would have turned into Jamie undressing 80s Patrick Swayze with his eyes and telling us how much he loves it.
Come on, that meditation yoga scene by the lake.
That right.
Ghost, 1990, Roadhouse, 1989.
So it was shortly thereafter.
Yeah, shortly thereafter.
I thought it would have been a couple
of
years.
And then, of course, before that was the great hit, Dirty Dancing.
Oh, naturally. A movie I still haven't seen.
Yeah, me
That's
either.
One movie I...
Every time it's on, I cringe and I say out loud, just to bother people in my house, oh, what movie's this? You know what movie it is. I told you a thousand times. You know.
Sure. Yes, of course. The one movie, have you seen Dirty Dancing, Trey?
I have seen it.
Do you have?
Yeah. Oh, you like Baby, don't you?
Yeah.
No. Uh-huh. I've never seen it all the way through, but I've probably seen it in its entirety.
Yeah,
I've seen like snippets of it. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, and then Top Gun. I've never seen Top Gun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Those are the two movies people most come down on me for not seeing Top Gun.
How have you never seen Top Gun?
Well, the volleyball scene happens, and I'm like, what else is on? Pretty much is
what
how it goes for me.
Volleyball scenes happen.
The volleyball scene's a little odd.
Okay.
So, a lot going on in that scene.
What do you mean? I don't remember that scene.
They play volleyball in the movie.
It's a montage, isn't it?
Oh, with the little shorts?
And the dog tags glistening?
It's like, that's what it is. This the dog tags.
the dog tags really
dripping with sweat.
So what is wrong with you today? Me?
Spike.
Yeah.
You know, they spike
They like zoom in on the dog tags on their chat. It's like, it's a whole thing. Come on.
And I'm like, all right,
guys. Are dripping with sweat.
Goose Maverick, I'll see you guys later. I'll check back with you in a couple of years. One second, what was Goose's name? Anthony, what was his name?
Yeah, he was in ER.
Yeah, he was.
I forget his name. Anthony Chiklis, I don't know.
Is that Kelly Lynch? The starlet?
Yes, Kelly Lynch. Yeah, I know
Fine
that.
Lynch.
She's in the movie, yes. And I know that motorcycle that Tom Cruise rode.
Imagine, now I'm picturing Tom Hanks.
Actually, the first time he plays Forrest Gump is in Top Gun, I'm told. I didn't even know that they were in the same movie. But apparently that motorcycle sold for like $1 billion or whatever. Mm. I don't know things.
Billion?
I don't know, Bob. 610-632-0975. But no, are people... looking at the Sixers right now, to bring this back to, you know, the fine thing that's going on tomorrow night, Wednesday night at the Wells Fargo Center, with the Sixers taking on the Boston Celtics, do I get a vibe from anyone that they're very confident going into this game? Because I feel like this is the game that they win. I feel like the Sixers aren't going to go into the playoffs getting swept by Boston in the close games that they played them so far this season. Remember the one on Christmas overtime game? The one they played on February 12th, that was a game that was decided by 3 points. I feel like this is the game the Sixers finally get over the hump and they win this game. Mm-hmm. Going into this game tomorrow night, they got to be able to beat the Hornets. I'll ask you how you feel about this tomorrow, because whatever happens in the game tonight against the Hornets. But right now, Trey, are you confident the Sixers will win this game?
Oh yeah, I, you know, especially coming off the Bucks win, I think that this that the team is definitely the confidence levels are high.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Bob, are you confident they'll win this game?
Yeah,
against the Celtics.
I am, because offense has really been the problem against the Celtics. I mean, you look at the last. This is just regular season games. Listen to this scoring output by the Sixers. 109, that was the 112-109 loss this year. Earlier this year, they scored 114, but that was overtime. And then, like I said, just regular season, 87, 83, 103, 97, 92. Oh, last year, and this year, like, they can't score against the Celtics. We talk about Al Horford, we talk about all this. Sixers can't score against them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the additions, like we said, of Tobias Harris, of Jimmy Butler, presents a whole new problem for the Celtics. Sixers have to get going offensively in order to beat them. I think they will tomorrow night.
All right, let's cross our fingers, hope they do that, and first get past the Hornets tonight. There you go. Hopefully they don't look past the Hornets. Hopefully they just take care of business tomorrow night as well.
Unlike you.
I am well past the Hornets. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a few, when we return, we'll be joined by Temple head coach Fran Dunphy here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, before, how about this, Bob? This guy, does anybody hustle more than Fran Dunphy?
Man's got a game tonight. He's all over the place. I know. He's the man.
9-10 tip-off tonight in Dayton, taking on Belmont as part of the first four in the NCAA tournament. And on the line with us right now, the coach of the Temple Owls basketball, Mr. Fran Dunphy. Fran, how are you, sir?
Good, Mark. Doing very well. Thank you.
Awesome. Congratulations on getting the bid. You get into the first four part of the tournament. They made you wait a little bit, though. What was it like in the waning minutes of the selection Sunday, trying to get ready to, as your fingers were crossed, to get in?
Well, it's always a interesting time, no question about it. Our kids were together in the locker room just watching, and I can't do that. That would kill me. So I just walk around the building, and then I hope that my phone blows up after the show starts, and I get a lot of text messages, and I did, so it was great.
Now, when you say walk, are you at the Leah Kors Center?
We were at the Leah Kors Sunday at 6, yeah, but the guys were in the locker room watching the show, and I was just kind of walking around aimlessly. I'm good at that.
So, Coach, you're just walking. How many laps did you do before the phone started blowing up? Did you count?
You know what? I didn't start till about 5:55, so it wasn't real long.
Okay, good enough. Good enough. Now, I mean, obviously a huge game, as you know, 17th trip for you to the NCAA tournament in total between Penn and Temple. But before we get into the game tonight, I do want to ask you, Coach, because a lot's been made of the last go around at Temple. How special does it make it to get this final bid in right now with Temple to get into the NCAA tournament?
Well, it's always great, Mark. Anytime you're in, it's just a wonderful feeling for the kids, and that's what you're worried about. I'm concerned about Shiz Alston and Ernest Aflakti and my man Trey Lowe, who hasn't had the opportunity that those two guys did because he got hurt in that car accident. He's been with us for the last 3 years every single day, and it's just terrific for those three guys. And that's what I think about the most. So it's really, and it's just such an exciting time for everybody.
Dumpf, besides the excitement, you go into this tournament, and like you said, it's your 17th time going there, 17th different team. How does this one compare? How are these guys ready to play? Is it good to have that uncertainty on Sunday that you're not getting in? Do you think it's good for the kids to just go and play after finding that out?
I guess we're going to find out. But it's different because you're sort of trying to throw as much stuff at them over a 48-hour period of time rather than maybe taking a day's rest and just kind of getting away from it and then really delving into it for the next number of days. So there's not a lot of time to think about it. Let's just go get ourselves ready and see what we can do. But obviously the biggest concern is Belmont and how good a basketball team they are and how well coached they are, and this one kid Windler, who is just a terrific basketball player. People are talking about him as a potential NBA player, and after watching so much film on him, I can see why everybody's excited about him.
Yeah, we're speaking with Coach Fran Dunphy from Temple Men's Basketball. Belmont comes into the game, I believe, the second highest scoring team in D1. I mean, second to only Gonzaga, just statistically here, Coach. So how important is it to really stress defense with those players tonight going up against an offense that can put up points like that?
Yeah, very much so, Mark. They're very efficient in what they do. So they have tremendous assist numbers, and everybody shares the ball, and they shoot 50% from the field, which is really hard to do when you shoot this many threes as a team. The kid Windler shoots 43% from three for a 6'7", 6'8" guy, which is again an extraordinary number. But they're all very confident, and the way they play is. It's got a pretty fast pace to it, too. So, obviously, that's the biggest thing we're stressing.
Shiz Alston Jr., who you mentioned a second ago, offensively has just taken huge steps throughout his career at Temple University. What's it been like for you to coach a player up like that into the score, nearly 20 points per game that he scored this season? What's it been like to really coach up a player like that?
Well, he's not only been a great player, but just a great guy. He's just a terrific teammate. He's been so good with all of these guys. And so his leadership has been spectacular as well. And then he's just made really timely shots that have given us either great leads, you know, not great leads, not big leads, but great leads at the end of a game. Just a very timely player in that regard. So I'm just so proud of him and everything he has accomplished. And he's been tremendous to coach over these last 4 years. And just, it's great to watch his growth.
Dumpf, I know the team, you're just going to say it's Belmont, 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 I would guess. But for you, when you win tonight, you go two more. You like how I said when, too. You go two more days before you got to go against Maryland. How much preparation do you do in advance of that? Like, how does it work for a coach?
Well, for me, I won't think about it. But, you know, our coaching staff will do. They've already done a bunch of stuff on Maryland. And, you know, hopefully we're going to need that. And but they do such a terrific job of preparing. So, and then they'll just fill me in. But I give so much ownership to them anyway, and it's what we do. And I give so much ownership to a guy like Shiz, and say it all the time, you know, when he's coming off the court onto the bench for a timeout, what's going on out there? What do you want to do? Where's the ball need to be? What should we do on the, are we comfortable with the switching that we're doing now? You know, things like that. You're giving that ownership to those guys who have worked so hard to prepare us and to the players as well.
Speaking with Temple coach Fran Dunphy before they take on Belmont tonight in Dayton in the first four of the NCAA tournament at 9:10 tonight. Coach, I got to ask you this just from a coaching perspective, and I don't know what you would do in a situation like this. The Phillies just had something happen in their clubhouse where players were playing video games allegedly during a game. When does a coach or a manager need to take over when players can? I know it's a little different in the college scene, but as a leader of men as well, young men albeit, when do you feel it necessary to either hold a team accountable or let players, the leaders on the team, really take that leadership role?
I think always you're pointing toward the leaders of the team. I think that's really how close I think you have to be to those, the top guys that you have who hold that locker room atmosphere in their hands, I think. So I think that's always the case. So again, when something goes wrong with the team, the first thing we've all been taught to do is to go to the top guys and say, okay, how is this situation happened? What are we going to do about it? Give us your opinion on it. And then, but you have your own stuff too. You know, you go goofy every once in a while and say, listen, we're not doing that. But I think most of the guys that are in it, they know exactly what they're doing. I wouldn't make too big a deal. I didn't see it. I don't know exactly what you're talking about, Mark. But I think the leadership has to come. The best leaders are the ones in the locker room, and because they got a finger on the pulse.
Well, that would certainly go true for the Phillies, considering Carlos Santana last year apparently smashed some TVs when players were playing video games at the end of the season. So hopefully you don't have to deal with anything like that, obviously. But just wanted to get your opinion on that, because obviously you've been a leader of men for so long. Looking at, you know, hopefully a long run here in the NCAA tournament, are you still going to be teaching at Temple? I know you've been teaching the business course at Fox for a while now. Are you still going to be doing that?
Yeah, that's the plan right now, Mark. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I will say that I think as I get into the classroom, I think I'm learning way more than the students are learning. But I love every second of it. Just a lot of fun to be in there. And we have some great students, great kids. And so I really enjoy that. And I have a person I teach with, Lynn Anderson, who does all the work. I just come in and kind of give some anecdotal stories about what goes on in in leadership and management and that kind of thing. So it's been great opportunity for me, and I'm hoping to continue it even more so now.
So, Dumpf, you coached at Temple, you coached at Penn, you went to LaSalle. I think you told me before, did you take classes at Nova at some point?
I did, yeah. I have a master's degree from Villanova.
So what's wrong with St. Joe's? You don't like them, or what's the deal?
No, they're very good friends, and I'm grateful for
you
that.
You got to go over there and take a class. You got to hit all five, Dumpf.
Will do. I will do that.
Good man.
Coach Fran Dunphy, Temple Owls, of course, taking on Dayton tonight, or excuse me, taking on Belmont and Dayton tonight in the first four, 9-10. Fran, you know I'm a Temple guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting you on so many occasions, and thanks for all you've done for Temple. You've been nothing but a class act, man, and I'm proud to have had you as the coach of my basketball team. So, Fran, thanks for everything. I know I'll be seeing you down the line.
All right, Mark. Thanks.
All right. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Dump.
Good luck, Dump. Good talking to you as always. Temple coach Fran Dunphy just joining us right there.
You know, just I'll give you a snippet just how good of a dude Dunphy is. So I was at a high school game a couple of weeks ago, and it was at my old high school, and I'm talking to one of the coaches after the game, and he's like, oh, did you say hi to Dunph? And I said, oh, no, I didn't know he was here. So I sent Dunph a text, just said, I can't believe you were in my old school. And he knows my old coach. They played together and all that. So I said, can't believe you were came to Catholic and didn't even look me up. 2 seconds later, my phone rings, and it's Dunph, and he's just saying, like, my God, what the hell was I thinking? You know, just to, like, we could have gotten something deeper for it, whatever it may be,
right.
He's just that guy. He's that down-to-earth great dude the way he's portrayed is absolutely correct.
He really is. He is down-to-earth is definitely the way to describe him. Let's get to Jim in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim, you want to address an issue that I still see the Eagles having right now, and that running back pool is drying up just a little bit.
Well, I'm just giving you my opinion.
Mm.
I think they have three very good running backs right now. I mean, that's Smallwood. He ran very, very hard and very well last year. They have Corey Clements and a kid from Notre Dame. I would rather see them really, really beef up that offensive line for now and the future rather than going out and getting some hard-nosed running back. That's my opinion, sir.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I know you're not someone to... I know someone would agree with you, and that's straight up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.